Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Nigel Fraser.
Yeah, just Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, for this morning. And I just praise you, Lord, as an opportunity, Lord, just to have a look at your word and to listen to you. And I just pray, Lord, that your great name will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. It's quite funny. God's got a sense of humour. And you can start out serious, but most of the time when the Spirit's moving, I tend to find God gets me into humour mode. And so I was doing all my serious Bible study, and then and I could just feel the Holy Spirit coming upon me, and it was just making me laugh all the time. And I thought, and it's almost like God's saying, "Is Christianity boring?" And I was saying, and then he was like giving me lots of memories of things I've experienced. And it really dates back to a conversation I had with a chap that works in Filey. And he was saying, you know, he was having a bit of a laugh at Christianity and he thought it was boring. And I said, well, if it's boring, what do you spend with your life? And it was mostly, he was commuting between Filey and Hunnenby, and that was his life. And I thought, well, have you ever swam in the largest volcanic crater lake in the world? Have you seen the source of the Nile? Have you ever ridden on an elephant and crossed a river where there's crocodiles in it? You know, have you done 125 kilometres off-road riding through Congo? And these sort of things start to come through my mind. And I thought, who's boring, actually? You're absolutely boring. And this, but with me, I think these things afterwards. I'm not really quick enough to think at the time and tell them then. But my mind just goes away and it goes away and it goes away. And when I became a Christian, before I became a Christian, and I was in university, I used to think, the guys didn't look very interesting. But that's actually a deception of the devil. The Christian union didn't look interesting. You saw these people only needed to shave once a week, you know, those sort of guys. And you thought, this is not really my cup of tea. But then when you encounter God, you actually find that's just a false image. The boring ones are actually the non-Christians. They're boring because I find as a GP that the more people line up with the devil, the more boring their life gets. Because then they start suffering with depression, they start being confined, they start being restricted, their lives go down and down and down and down. And they end up, and you see people in Scarborough, and there's quite a lot that I work with, and they're locked in their rooms, they're locked in their little flats, and they emerge at night time to go and shop in Tesco's. Now that's not a criticism, but that's what the devil does to people. He wants to hem them in. And when God starts moving in somebody's life, then freedom comes in. Yeah, and they actually can be free to be the person that God's actually made them to be. And that they can get into life. Like before I became a Christian, I never used to travel anywhere. You may not believe it, I never used to do it. I used to go on the same holiday every year to Scotland. My parents owned a cottage and that was it. And then I'd live in central Manchester and that was my life. The first 4 years in university, I went on about 3 day trips. Two were evening trips over to Liverpool, and one was 1 day trip down to London. And that was all I did in 4 years. Then when God came on me, and I got the Spirit, he broke me out of my little box. In fact, there was a tune there, Living in a Box, who made me remember the song. But God got me out of living in a box. And he gets you to do things. Like things that you would never, ever want to do, God's had me doing. I've been sat in a car with Irish terrorists before. On a Christian mission, I've been also into all kinds of situations, and God said to me, He wants to break you guys free. There's things that He wants you to do, and what I want you to do is just catch a hold of what the Holy Spirit's saying to do. He wants you to get you out of your little box if you're living in a little box, because there's only one thing worse than a non-Christian, and that's a lukewarm Christian. Yeah. And God said that He'd rather you were hot or cold. With a lukewarm, I'll vomit out of my mouth. And it doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven necessarily, but you're going to be restricted, restrained. Yeah, you're not living what God's made you to be. Yeah, and God has got a terrific sense of humour. Yeah, He's the guy that invented humour. He's the guy that invented laughter. Yeah? He invented fun. And if you're not enjoying something, if you're not enjoying Christian life, there's something wrong. Yeah? You're meant to have fun. Yeah? It's a barometer. It's a fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Amen? And one of the things we do is mission trips are really, really exciting. And I just love them because God just does crazy things. God once gave me a picture of himself, and he was driving a sports car. And I was in the front seat, passenger seat, and God's just looking absolutely crazy and wild. He's laughing his head off. And he says, "We're in for it now, boy." And he's like on a roller coaster, and he's driving his car everywhere, going in all kinds of positions. And this is what God does. And it's if you look at Ezekiel, I think it's Ezekiel 47, forgive me if I got the reference wrong, but there's, you know, where the water comes out of the temple. And you've, first of all, you're in your toes, and your little twinkle toes are in the water, you know, dipping your eye. And then it goes up to your ankles, and then it goes up to your knees, then it goes up to your waist, then it goes up to your chest. And then you're in a river that forcefully just carries you along out of control. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to jump into that river and just get carried along, swept along by turbulent waters wherever he wants to take you. And if periodically you get beached and it gets boring, then just jump back in again and get on moving with God. Because when God's on the move, you end up doing bizarre and weird things. And if you do... And if these aren't happening in your life, come and speak with me. I will set you up for something. Right, so let's have a look. You know, because a lot of people, when you look at Hosea, God loves you. He's got your best interests in heart. He wants you to enjoy the life down here. It says before you check out, Hosea chapter 2, you know, it's talking about the person that's stuck in their little life. And God says, "I will allure you. I'll bring you into the wilderness. I'll speak comfort to you. I'll give you vineyards and the Valley of Achor is a door of hope. And you'll sing there as in the days of your youth." So the Valley of Achor is a valley of trouble. You know, and David Clayton was using the word people in the desolation. You know, when you're in a state of desolation, that is a time where as you cry out to meet with God, God not only meets the need that you've got in your life, but he puts more than what you need. So out of the overflow of that, then you start to impact other lives. Amen? So your trouble is your opportunity. Yeah? And this is part of the message. And often when we go on mission, we're taking a message of joy. We're taking a message of hope. We're taking a message of faith. We're taking the word of God. We're taking the spirit of God. And people are getting set free. And we're seeing in our meetings is there's exciting presences of God that are coming down that are just completely unrestrained. Absolutely. Completely far more than what we experience in the UK. And what we want to do is just take this into every corner of the globe. And, you know, God transforms trouble. I was in one meeting in Indonesia and it's in a jungle area. And the presence of God came down this church meeting so powerfully that we felt that every need that people were praying for was going to be met with that night. There's such a, it's almost like God says, "Stand out of the way, get out of the way, because I'm moving." Yeah. And when you go on mission, you're having encounters with God. Because if you go right back to the book of Genesis, God says, "Go into all the world and multiply." It says, "Go and fill the world. Go and be fruitful. Go and be multiply." So part of God's JD for us is to go. Part of his, now going for you may not be rafting down some little river in Congo by yourself on a one-man mission. But there can be a sense of going in which it's not happening you. It can be mean going downstairs. It can be mean going next door. It can be going to another part in your village. It can be picking up a phone. But there's a sense in which you start to move. We've got what God's wanting you to do. As you start to step out, there might be something. It might be getting involved in the church. You might find the Holy Spirit saying, "I want you to get involved with the children's work. Go and help out." There's something, but it's a going. It's mission. See, I don't use the word mission, but mission is anything where you're cooperating with the Great Commission. Yeah? Hallelujah. You know, it's when God, when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and he's saying go. Because we're not all the same. Yeah? We're not all the same. And I have to be honest, I have to declare I've had a background in the army, which helped me. It was part of God's preparation for me to go into some mission trips that maybe you don't want to. And I was thinking before I went to the last Congo mission, and I was going mentally through my mind how automatic weapons worked, just in case we needed to use them. You know. Anyway, but thank God we were so peaceful out there. We were trailing along behind United Nations. They'd driven out the rebels 3 weeks before we got there. And God said, go. And the Holy Spirit said it was going to be safe, and we were absolutely safe. We saw no warfare. I was the only Westerner there. Nobody else was stupid enough to go there. And I thought, who don't I like, and I'll send them next time. You know, and we went to one place, and it was, and I think it was like news as an impromptu brothel. And it's the only place where we got accommodation. And I thought, oh, Gordon, Bennett, what am I doing here? And, fortunately, there was me, the bishop, the bishop's assistants, and the four of us were sat there. And in this place, and we thought, well, you've got to be thankful for where you are. And you just push off, because God sends you to some strange places. But we found nice places where other people can stay when they go next time. So, hallelujah. If you look at God, he took hold of Saul. He had a most amazing life. And we've been talking last week about, and in a men's summit meeting, about the early church. And if you go to Acts chapter 9, verses 15, but the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. So I believe there's a call on every one of you. This was a call word that was spoken to Paul. And there's you guys. And there's some of you who do not know what God has called you to do. But but the Bible says, if you want to, God's going to draw close to you as you draw close to him. And as you draw close to God, God's then going to start speaking to you by something that's called revelation. That means that his spirit starts to speak inside of you. He'll use the word of God as well to confirm it. And he'll actually start to show you, paint you a picture of what he's called you to do with your life. And that's as you step out of lukewarm Christianity, yeah, into fully committed Christianity, you'll then start to find your plan for your life. And it'll be tailor-made for you that nobody else can do. And you'll use even the problems of your past will then be transformed into making you perfectly crafted to be the person he's called you to be. Yeah? Because God, even your problems become golden in God. Yeah. The things that you fought against, the things that you've struggled against, I'm half English, half Indian. You know, when you're growing up in the 70s, that wasn't very nice in central Manchester. I was a part of an ethnic minority. But I didn't realise that that was a good thing at that time. But actually, it was a fantastic thing, because it means I can go into and understand and relate to other cultures. Yeah? And which is so important on mission fields. I can identify people from other cultures. Yeah? Because I'm half Indian, I was given a lifelong visa into India and served my boys Joshua and Samuel, even though they're one quarter Indian. Because of this opportunity, the Indian government is kicking out missionaries left, right and centre. It doesn't want the Christian influence. It wants to be a Hindu country. But my problem is now my opportunity. Because I've got a British passport with a lifelong visa. I could turn up tonight in India and I could stay there 10 years, no questions asked. Yeah, I could go there, I could build Bible schools in every city, in every town in India. No questions asked. Yeah, you turn up, you tell me missionary, to find out you're missionary, you'd be packed off on the next plane home. Yeah, so your problem is your opportunity. I've got a friend who was an alcoholic, couldn't read or write. God knew that as an opportunity. That man has got a phenomenal ministry. Still can't read or write. But it hasn't. But so what he did was he had to learn passages off the Bible by heart, because if he's going to preach and teach, there's the only way he could do it, because he couldn't read and write. And God put the word so deeply inside of him, and there's just so much life in him. There's so much life in that man, and that God uses your valley of Achor as your door of hope. You see, Saul, look at Saul the apostle. You know, he was such a dedicated Pharisee, studied in Gamaliel. He was like steeped in Jewish tradition, full, he'd have known the first five books of the Bible at least off by heart, if not more books of the Bible off by heart. And he was completely entrenched in that to a point of fanaticism. And he was going around killing and persecuting Christians. And because of that, when he met with God, God turned this fanatic into a believer and then used him powerfully to become a Christian. He's perfectly prepared. Nobody else could argue the way he did and promote his faith. He is prepared for it. What are you perfectly prepared for? Why don't you use your troubles to your advantage? Why don't you use your problems to your advantage? Yeah, it's called reframing in psychology. But actually, God's the best reframer there is. He takes you. You are special. Yeah? You're not a special case. You are special. Yeah? And God, he was a chosen instrument. So let's have a look at another guy. You see, look at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 to 9. This is his call. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? So this conversation going up in heaven, Isaiah is having this phenomenal experience of God. And he's encountering God. He's actually seeing God. He's seeing the cherubim. He's caught into the most holy place. He's been caught up. And in that, he's got to a place of revelation. This is possible, people. It's not just for the isolated few. God wants to bring us into amazing encounters with God, which are way beyond our present experience. And God, and it's like you're in the presence of God. God's there with all his court, is there with Jesus, is there with his angels. And Isaiah's hearing this stuff. He said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? That's the Trinity. Who's going to go for us? And Isaiah's just sat there listening to what God's talking about. And then he said, here I am, send me. There used to be a phrase, here I am, send her, you know. You know, because most missionaries in Africa are women. Which is why I said to Elka before we got married, I would never want to do missions to Africa. Never say never with God, okay? he said, go and tell the people. He gave him a message. Yeah. God's looking for people that are going to volunteer. See, when the Holy Spirit of God comes down, and you can, Elka laughs at me for doing that. I like doing that. When the Holy Presence of God, then the Spirit starts speaking to you and you hear that little quiet voice speaking to you. Do you dismiss that or do you go with it? Yeah. Because God comes as a small quiet voice often. He doesn't always come as an earthquake. He doesn't always come as a fire. He can come as a still, small voice. We need to have our ears attentive. Is God speaking to you today? Is he wanting to explode you out of your little hole? Yeah. And in Ezekiel, chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Again, Ezekiel, not a guy. See, the Bible says things are backed up by the mouth of two or three witnesses. There's person after person in the Bible had these encounters. That's why there's so many books in it. So when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice of one speaking. And he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. See, God's Word and God's Spirit always work together. The Holy Spirit of God is always going to back up what the Word of God says. God's never going to go against the Word of God. So if you find something's giving you a revelation that is contrary to the teaching of the Bible, you then know it's false. Yeah? So everything God's going to do is going to be consistent with what he teaches. And it set me on my feet. You see, God wants to put you back on your feet. He wants to pick you up out of your fallen position and get you on your feet. You need to be on your feet so you can start moving. And that's what Christianity is about, moving. And I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel. That was his specific call. Well, he might have thought, well, how can I do that? Here I am. I'm a captive. I've been sort of carted off from my country, dumped in Babylonia. Here I am, stuck by this river, sat there with a load of other captives. How can I have a ministry to the children of Israel? Well, God got him to write a big letter, the book of Ezekiel. You know, that was his ministry. He had his, and also his ministry was also to the captives that were around him. Yet God will work in your circumstances. It's not limited by your situation. It's not limited by finances. You know, there's people I know that God's called them to mission, but they look at their pocketbook and it says there's no money there. Well, God said, I haven't asked you if you got the money. I've just said, did you want to go? Yeah. He said, you know, and God's first, and they're looking at money, wallet, I bow down to you, can I go on this mission? And wallet says, no. And then, you know, but that's not the voice of God. You know, don't look at your restrictions, don't look at your limitations. Yeah. If the Holy Spirit is calling you to go, then he will make a way. Yeah. You know, God will move heaven and earth to do what he's called you to do. Yeah. I mean, when I went on a mission once, somebody I was working with suddenly stopped working with me. I'd bought my ticket and he'd left working with me. So a few weeks before I was meant to go on mission. And does that mean I just rip up the airline ticket and don't go on a mission? No, because I had to stay behind and do my job. God provided two people to actually stand in and do a fantastic job to replace the one person that left. Yeah? You see, God makes a way. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 to 9. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. You have been specially created with your bald head. It's actually extremely useful to have a bald head, isn't it? You know, you don't get too hot. You know, it's so useful. It means I can go into hot climates and I can just sweat it off from there. And, you know, before you're born, I sanctify you. Before you, I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Come on, wake up, have a laugh. You know, God's actually made you the way he wants you to be. Stop moaning about, I'm too fat, I'm too thin, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too middle-aged. Yeah. I'm too working class, I'm too upper class, I'm too this and that and the other. You know, do you want to be the only non-boring old person? Yeah? You know, and God wants you to break out of the mold society wants to squeeze you in. Do you know what the devil's done? He's given the deception out that the older you get, the less useful and constructive you get. That is a lie. Because if God is consistently working in a person's life, they're actually growing, they're actually becoming more useful the older they get. Yeah? Hallelujah? Yeah. Therefore, you should be at your max the day you check out. Yeah? Yeah. Right. It should be. It should be. You know, be fruitful and flourishing in your old age. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. You can read it. Yeah. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. You know, they always used to laugh at Kingdom Faith Bible College about quoting that verse, Michael Barling. I don't know why, but we are prophets to the nations, aren't we? Well, we see, what's a prophet? All a prophet is just speaking out the revelation that God has given you. Yeah? So you get revelation. If God gives me something encouraging and I share it with you, then I prophesied. Yeah? You know, even if I say, you know, God loves you. I know the prophecy I've got for you, and this is a prophecy, is that God wants to reveal to people here today that he's got a call on their life. Yeah? Yeah? You're not necessarily going to get it today, but I mean, just saying, but it'll be a starting point for some of you. And hopefully some of you will get it today. Then I said, our Lord, for I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. You know, but the Lord says to me, don't say I'm a youth. Don't say I'm an old biddy. Don't say I'm this. For you shall go to all to whom I send you. Come on. Yeah? You're going to go. Amen. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. So just chew out, throw out the stuff that's just Nigel and keep the stuff that's God, by the way. It's your responsibility to test what I'm saying. Do not be afraid of their faces. See, that stops people, doesn't it? It stops people going out and talking because we actually frighten the people. But the bigger the God you've got, then the less big the person in front of you looks. Because really what we want to do is compare the size of the person that's in front of you, compare it with a big, massive God, and then that gives you confidence to say what God's given you to tell them. Amen? for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. You know, I was in Indonesia after the Twin Towers got taken out, and there's all these Muslims chanting in the streets, Osman bin Laden, Osman bin Laden, Osman bin Laden. And I was thinking, oh no, oh no, oh no. You know, because I was just walking past them. You know, and you know, and I was on this one-man mission. I don't recommend one-man missions, but I've been on a few. And I was on this one-man mission, and it was about the end of Ramadan, and they've got this thing called the Eid at the end of Ramadan. And I was there, and on the Eid, there was all these explosions going off all night. And I was thinking, oh no, the crazy Muslims are going fanatic. They found out I'm here. There's guns, there's bombs, there's everything. And I woke up the following day, and it was a firework festival. But I was quoting Psalm 91. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. You know, there's times I've been on mission and I'm thinking, what on earth can I talk about Christianity? I can't think of anything to say. And then God, and you just step out. As you step out, and I'm sure Paul and other people testify this, suddenly you've got the words to say and you're off. Amen. And it's natural to you. Look at poor Moses. What a job he had to do. I mean, imagine going and talking in front. I would not want his job. Who'd want Moses' job? Put your hand up. No, I wouldn't want Moses' job. He says, I just want my call. I don't want Moses' call, God. He says, come now, therefore, and I'll send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So he starts off a one-man mission. Then God feels sorry for him and gives him his brother Aaron. The two of them have got to go to the biggest despot going and tell him to let all his slave population go. All the people that are building all his cities, all the people that were building all his pyramids. I said, let the whole lot of them go. And do you think Pharaoh's going to be pleased at that? No, they could have been roasted. I don't want that job. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3. This is a nicer job. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, well, I left Manchester, from your family and from your father's house, and to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. So it's making us a great nation. Yeah? You're not in Scarborough by accident. You might not like being here, but you're here. I will bless you, and I'll make your name great. Okay? And you shall be a blessing, and I'll bless those who bless you. That's all the nice people, you guys. And I'll curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Yeah? Let's do one geographical move. So people, how many people, just put your hand up, how many people actually moved from another area to come to Scarborough? Amen. Okay. You made a mistake! Sorry, I'm joking about that. How many think it was God? Yeah, you see, amen, amen. Sorry, God, excuse me. No, you've not made a mistake. You've not made, be at peace. You will be a blessing, and in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Amen. As you step out, you've got to make your one step, then your one step, then God's economy, you could do mighty things through it. Yeah? You've come from where you used to be. God brought you to a nice seaside town, and now see what you can do. Joshua 1, verses 1 to 2. You might say, well, I've never had a position of importance. I've never had a position of influence. How can God use me? Look at Joshua. It's just stick around, anointed people of God. The Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Amen. Yeah. You didn't wave your hand, anybody? Go, you and all his people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. You see, we're getting the word go, send, 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 go. It's in the Bible a lot. You've got this chap, Joshua. He saw that Moses was anointed, and he got close to him. And as you spend time with people who are anointed, with men and women of God, that you know are anointed, you're going to pick up some of that life and some of that power. See what they do. Spend time with them. Yeah? Spend time with God. God's very anointed. You know, spend time with God. And, you know, draw close to God. And as you do, things will start to happen in your life. You know, walk with the wise and you shall be wise. Walk with a bunch of fools, you become just like them. Yeah? You want to go down, walk with a bunch of idiots. Yeah? You want to go up, you walk with God's people. God's only got good plans for you, by the way. Sometimes I think a lot of people hold back because I think, if I give control to God, what's he going to do? He might call me into ministry. He might do all kinds of weird things. Yes, he will do weird things, but it'll be good for you. Yeah. Luke 10, verses 1. It's not just the Old Testament. Let's give you some New Testament scriptures. The Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two. That's just like the ark animals. Before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So God and Jesus, it must have been such a massive operation. There is 70 people and Jesus is thinking, well, I'm going to do a mission in that village. I'm going to do a mission in the city of Nain. I'm going to do a mission in Jericho. I'm going to do a mission in Capernaum. I'm going to do a mission there. So I'm going to send guys here. I'm going to send guys there. You can go to Nazareth. You can go to Jericho. And he's got everyone, all these people just going out because Jesus was just going, bang, bang, bang. I've got 3 years in which to do it. And Jesus was just going around doing signs and wonders. It says in the book of John that Jesus did so many signs and wonders that even all the books in the world couldn't record what he did. Yeah? And this is what God's doing on the earth today. Once you get into mission, there's a sense of urgency. Yeah? There's a sense in which God is just exploding across the world and is wanting to catch you up. And what you don't want to do, and what we don't want to do, is stop and restrict what God is doing. And I think God wants to explode the Christian church and get them going and get them involved in his purposes, yeah? And we've got to stop and start being big thinkers. We can't say, well, I'm not going to go to the Arabic world because it's dangerous, or I'm not going to go to Afghanistan because it's dangerous. God's saying, if you're stupid enough to go there, I will send you. Yeah? You know, and God's saying, well, you know, this is a time to join in, to jump into the river, to take off restraints and to consecrate yourself and say, God, my life is now off limits. You can do whatever you want to do with my life. My life no longer belongs to you, but my life belongs to me. It belongs to you, Lord. You do what you want to do with me. Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm just willing to, you know, God just looking for you to give up. It's not looking for great spirituality. Your prayer life may be rubbish. You may know nothing about the Bible, but God's looking for attitudes of heart. Yeah? That is the first thing. You know, that was the thing that made Paul so exceptional. You know, God gave him his call, and Paul could have just said, okay, I'm just going to be satisfied, be a Christian, just take it and use it for my benefit and let it stop there. But what he did is his life was a living sacrifice. He put himself on the altar. He said, it's no longer my life, but it's your life, God. You can do what you want me to do, whatever you want me to do. And actually, once you actually start to take your hands off your own life and you let God do what he wants to do, you actually start to find that that your life actually starts to take on excitement. It's enjoyable. You start to find a sense of purpose. You're actually living with something that's eternal. And you know, and actually what you're doing, you start clocking up a reward in heaven. Yeah? Because what we want is a reward in heaven, not just a reward in this life. You don't want to just get to heaven and God says you were an also ran. You want to say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Yeah? You want to store up there gold, silver, precious stones. You want everything that God has got for you. Yeah? Every pot of gold that God's got for you in the highway of holiness, you want to keep it for yourself. Yeah? You want it up in heaven for you. And that means, and the only way you're going to do that is have the attitude of heart by saying, my life down here now belongs to God. Christ died for me. Yeah? So I'm a living sacrifice for him. You come and do what. And there's going to be times when you're going to drift off into selfishness. You're going to drift off into going back to your own ways. Well, get back onto. But if you keep getting back on the highway time after time after time, then your life gets more in line with his plan and purposes. Amen? Amen. You will not lose out. You know, those that give up houses inherit 100 more. Don't they? That's what Jesus said. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, you say, well, I haven't got a theology degree, and God said, you don't need one. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. See, you can only teach what's life to you, to other people. Yeah. If you're not teaching what's real to you, then it's not life to the hearer. Yeah. God wants it to be worked out in your own life before you pass it on to others. Whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Do you know the amazing thing is, you get on, I go on these missions, and it's completely different to going on holiday. Completely different. You step on the plane, and time after time, I've felt the anointing just come and cloak me. Yeah, I've come out of work, I've been busy rushing around, doing this, not been in a good place spiritually, but I've just obeyed the word of the Lord to go on the mission. I've just been honest, you don't mind if I've been honest, do you? You know, and yet when I've got on the plane, God by His grace has just completely equipped me and cloaked me. So it's all of His grace, so I can't take any of the credit for myself. I'm not a particularly fantastically spiritual person, but all I've done is just said, yes, I'll go. And because I've been willing to go, God has come in and used me. So if He can use a dummy like me, He can use anybody. Yeah? And because God is no respecter of people. He hasn't got special kids or non-special kids. We're all special in His sight. Yeah? You know, because some of you might be tempted to say, well, it's okay for Nigel. And the thing is, see, if you see someone going on missions lots and lots and lots of times, you can think, well, that's just what Nigel does. But what you don't realise is just I've just jumped into that river. And all you've got to do is jump in too. Yeah? And it's just waiting there for you. Yeah? And some of you, I believe there's people in here, you've got a really boring life. And God wants to set you free. Yeah? Because boring is not good. Yeah? Boring is of the devil. Yeah? Because it wants, when you're experiencing God, there's nothing boring about the presence of God. It is the most fantastic thing there is. Absolutely amazing. And you only keep getting the fresh stuff if you keep moving. Yeah? Because the Dead Sea, it's got stuff going in, but it's got nothing going out. So it becomes salty and dead, and there's no life springing up. Whereas the Sea of Galilee has got water flowing in and water flowing out, and it's fresh and everything grows around it. Yeah? And as you keep going out and you keep doing the things God wants you, going from step to step to step, and the works that God's prepared for you, then there's going to be a fresh, revitalizing life in you. Yeah. As you take those opportunities. And God's going to keep encouraging you on the way. Once you take that call of God on your life and you go on it, there'll be encouragements. Like Paul, you think, everywhere Paul went, he used to get stoned, whipped, everything. And you think, what kind of ministry is that? Acts 18, verses 9 to 11. And one night, the Lord spoke to Paul in the vision and told him, and this is a word for Scarborough Church I got, actually. Don't be afraid. Speak out. Don't be silent, for I'm with you. No one will attack and harm you, for many people in the city belong to me. So Paul stayed there. And then, you know, it says for next year and a half, but in your case it's longer, teaching. Teaching the word of God. No, Lord, keep him longer, please. But teaching the word of God. But it's a vision for you. There are many people, the reason why you're in Scarborough, there's many people in the city belong to Jesus. Yeah? They just don't know it yet. Yeah, the reason why you're here, the reason why you're not in some leafy little village is because God wants you here. And as you keep teaching, so don't be afraid, just keep speaking out. That is a word for this church. Mark 16, verses 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what Jesus says. He says, go, 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 go. Ephesians 2, verses 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, if you think about it, right, here's your life. Your life, you appear on planet Earth, in my case, 1963, 50 years ago. I'm not ashamed to admit I'm 50. Okay, hallelujah. And anyway, so here we go. And we're just at the starting point. And God said, right, that's your life, Nigel. Right, and what I want you to do is walk in all the good works I've prepared for you. This is not a run. It's not a standstill, and it's not a run. It's a walk. Okay, so good work. That's a good work. And so you can imagine lots of little stepping stones that I've got. I imagine it, visualize it, like you're trying to cross a river, and you're just going from stone to stone to stone. And the steps for you that uniquely designed for you. And you can only do one at a time. So I can't be on 3 missions all at once. I can only do 1 mission at a time. Yeah? And then you just go from step to step to step. And your intimate relationship with God gives you the ability to see the next step. And if you're not walking closely with God, then you might miss one. But what you want to do is have that intimate relationship with God so that you can... But God generally doesn't like you missing a step. So he will then keep you there until you find the next step. Okay? And so you find you've been stuck for about 10 years. Okay? So afterwards you come to repentance and you think, oh, I've been stuck for 10 years now, I need to keep moving. So God says, right, here's the next step. And so you keep on doing it. You don't want to arrive at the other end too quickly, you know? Okay? And then you get to the... But as you keep on going, you fulfill the steps that God's got for you. Yeah? And your purpose is simply just to walk the path that God's got for you. As you walk that path, which is uniquely laid out for you, and it shines brighter and brighter until the dawning of that great day, and then you again get checked into heaven and you're out. Okay? Acts 1 verses 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's everywhere. It includes everywhere. It includes Ogden. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Ogden, and to the end of the earth. It's absolutely everywhere on the face of the planet. And I've got a vision that we're going to get out and we're going to go everywhere. Yeah? You know, I get fed up of people trying to put me in a box. I want to explode out that little box to put me in. I get really fed up of people saying, Nigel, you can't do it, you can't do it. Well, I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to explode out. I don't want to be put in your little restrictions. I don't want to have your petty mindedness stopping my missions. You know, I don't want to be limited. I want to be unrestricted. I want to be unrestrained. I want to be wild. I want to have fun. I want to go for it. I've only got one life to live. Don't hold me back. Don't go around stopping my missions. Don't start going around stopping my mission teams. I want you out there, guys. I want you to go everywhere. I want people to come along and do the part-time Fed teacher course, train up to be missionaries and get out. And we want to send you absolutely everywhere. And I want to keep going and going and going as long as I can. You know what I mean? I don't want to stop when I'm 60. I don't want to stop when I'm 70, but I want to keep going. And I also want other people to keep going. Yeah? And I want to keep coming up and annoying you and telling you to go as well, because that's going to do you good. Because then you're going to really experience God in your life. Yeah? And I really look forward to the time when I'm big enough and grown up enough to be allowed to do these things. You know, and be allowed to and this is what I want. And this is something inside of me, just like screaming. Just explode the lot of them out there, you know, just explode you all out. And because that's good for you. Yeah. And that might just be going to your next door neighbour. You know, I think it's really sad for me, and I repent, because our next door neighbour's moving away, and we've never really... We've only briefly spoken to them about Christian things. And I think that's a shame. But it's okay, you know, just wipe your tears off. Next time, get it right. Yeah? God wants us to get out there. And we've got so many resources. And we've got so much to give. We've got so many opportunities. We can get this. There's airplanes. Airplanes have been invented for us. God invented airplanes for us so that we can go on mission. That's why airplanes exist. Yeah? You know, that's why passports exist. Yeah, we've got an opportunity. We've got freedom. We've got a political opportunity. We're not locked into a communist country like North Korea, but we can go to North Korea. We want people. You know, I was in Korea earlier on in the year when Kim Jong-un, or whatever he's called, was threatening nuclear war. But these are things, and you've got to start imagining. We've got an imagination. And I want to challenge you today to start using your imagination. Start thinking, what can we do? And what does God want us to do? You know, where does he want us to go? What does he want to do with my life? And I've got a challenge for you this morning. Is God speaking to you through this donkey? Is God speaking to you? Is he challenging you? That your life's boring and he wants you to come into a deeper place with him. That he wants you to enter into what he's got for you. because there's a plan that only you can fulfill. You know, this is not just, I'm not just trying to do like an evangelistic thing, but I feel that God is wanting to speak to people here today. Just close your eyes. He's actually starting to talk to you. And that he's got a plan and a purpose for your life that you actually want. So just close your eyes a second. Yeah, the feeling I've got is that God is wanting people to... It's not just about missions today. It's coming in line with God's plan and purpose for your life. Yeah. I also got the impression that God wants is going to heal you. It'll be health to you. That your physical health, your emotional health, and your spiritual health will be increased. Because you'll be living according to the Maker's instructions. And there's people here, and you've been crying out because you need that life. And it's almost like you're saying, there must be something more to life than this. You know, and I've tried imperfectly to just communicate the excitement that comes of living God's way. It's such an exciting quality of life. Okay, it's challenging, but it's exciting. And God's got a good plan and a good purpose for you. You know, plans to bless you and prosper you, not to harm you in any way, and because he's your father. He's a good father. What I'd like you to do is just raise your hand if you want God's plan and purpose for your life. Now, for some of you, you may already be on that path. But for others, it's going to be a case of submitting yourself to God and to find that path for yourselves. Or it may be that you're already on that path and yet you want to submit yourself afresh. But if that's you, then I want you to come to the front. If you want to submit yourself, maybe for the first time or afresh, to the plan and purpose that God's got for you. You're coming forward not to be prayed with, but you're doing the praying. And what you should be praying is, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done in my life. It's where you want to take all hands of control off your life and just give it back to God. I think there's some other people that want to come forward. You're welcome to. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for every person here. We just commit them to you. I just pray, Father, Lord, as they start to seek, Lord, the plan and the purpose that you've got for their life, Lord. I pray, Lord, you're going to give them wisdom. You're going to give them revelation. I pray, Lord, you're going to open up their eyes. You're going to open up their ears, Lord. I pray, Father, you're going to speak to them through the word of God, Lord. I pray, Father, Lord, for your divine presence is going to come upon them, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that every restriction, Lord, every limitation, Lord, that's been put upon them, Lord, by the world, Lord, by the devil, Lord, by the people, Lord, we've broken off them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, Lord, that eyes will be opened. open, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that ears will be open, Lord, to enter into the fullness, Lord, of everything else that you've got, Lord, for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that every one of them, Lord, is going to enter into that walk, into that highway of holiness, Lord, that you've laid for each one of them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, Lord, they're going to walk, Lord, in all the steps, Lord, that you've got for them, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, for life and for blessing, Lord, and fullness of life, Lord. We thank you, Father, Lord, you don't want to restrict them, Lord, but you want to release them, Lord, into what you've called them to do. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you've called them, Lord, to life, Lord, and the abundance of life, it says in John 10:10. And we pray, Lord Jesus, they're going to experience, Lord, that abundance of life, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, as I'm walking around them now, Lord, I believe, Lord, the Holy Spirit, Lord, is just coming upon them now in Jesus' name. I believe, Lord, the power of God is coming upon them now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the presence of God, Lord, that's just blanket them, covering them, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the power and anointing of God, Lord, that's coming upon them now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you're setting them free, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, you're setting them free in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, all preconceived ideas which are not of God are being broken off their mind, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, Lord, they're going to be able to engage, Lord, with what you want them to engage with, Lord. And I pray, Lord, they're going to be able to submit, Lord, to what you want them to submit to, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, they're going to submit to you, Lord. And I pray, Father, they're going to submit to what you're doing in their life, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that rather than pushing things away, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they're going to embrace, Lord, what you're doing in their life, Lord. I pray, Father, rather than pushing themselves away, Lord, I pray, Father, you're going to embrace, they're going to embrace, Lord, what you created them to be in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, Lord, instead of looking at themselves as a problem, Lord, I pray, Father, they're going to see themselves, Lord, as more than a conqueror, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we speak life and blessing over them, Lord. We speak life and blessing. And I pray, Father, Lord, for a hedge of protection, Lord, over every one of these people now in Jesus' name. A hedge of protection, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for life, Lord, over them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Life over them, Lord. I pray, Father, you're going to increase them, Lord, in every area of their life, Lord. I pray, Father, you're going to increase their health in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that health problems that have been dogging them, Lord, are going to be broken off them now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for strength and vitality over them, Lord, in Jesus' name. People have been prone to depression and anxiety. We break that off you now in Jesus' name. Every delusion and deception, we break that off you now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to be able to hear, Lord, the voice of God. They're going to be able to hear, Lord, from you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Father, Lord, for your blessing. And we just give you all the glory and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.